clock somewhere. Let's just turn to the Lord and open in a word of prayer. Lord, we just give you our thanks, even at this time, for the word that has been given to us and that we've been challenged with in our own hearts. And now we just pray that as we continue to look into the word and to look at this young man, Timothy, that thou wilt continue to open our hearts, open the word, open our understanding, and give us, Lord, that which is needful, which thou alone art knowledgeable of, that each one of us needs to take out of the scriptures and from the message that would be given to make it real in our hearts, that we might live and to honor thee and to encourage us in our lives practically here below. So we ask thy blessing in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I just put this stack of papers here. You can leave it over on the side. But this is a copy of all the different lectures, just the subjects and some of the scripture references. So you're welcome to please avail yourselves of those. We're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, and we will read the first 5 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Thus far. Our brother John brought before us this morning really the challenge that I would like to take hold of and to continue as we look here at the life of this young man, Timothy, who sought to honor God. And that challenge that was really placed before us was, and I'm going to put it this way, what is your status in the eyes of God? What is my status? We spend much time being occupied with and being concerned with these things that we've already been challenged with, and for example, updating my status on my Facebook page. But I want to look here and see what is the status from God's point of view of this young man Timothy, as we see presented to us uniquely in the scriptures of this man only. And then take away from that what we can apply to ourselves individually as we learn from this young man Timothy and see how, first of all, we would stack up and be challenged that as a Timothy, who was a man of like passions as you and I, a man in this world, another human being, who God used in a miraculous way, and are we available? So here is really the challenge. We begin with this, but how do we see this now as presented to us in the uniqueness of the life of Timothy? And you know, it's very interesting. As I opened the scriptures and started to look at this this man Timothy, to find that in the scriptures that God has given testimony to him in a very unique way that is like none other in the scriptures. And I thought, how interesting that he would be selected out of all of the individuals and presented to us in the testimony of the Word of God in such a unique way. And it's so easy for us to quickly read through even these five verses and yet find in them such unique little treasures that God would have us to apply to ourselves as we look at Timothy, who would direct us to the Christ. Number one, as we read in these scriptures, verse 2, we read, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." I believe that Timothy is the first, not the only, but the first second generation believer that we read of in the scriptures. The first second generation believer. We know that there were many believers, many saved, as the book of Acts opens and the church is formed. And it multiplied greatly. But then we come, as we had in Acts chapter 16, and we learn that Timothy was the first second generation Christian that we find so many details about. There are other second generation Christians. Onesimus, the servant of Philemon, the runaway slave. He was saved when he met Paul there in prison. And he went back to Philemon. He's a second generation Christian. Titus was another second generation believer. But in Timothy, the first second generation believer that we read of in time, and what does this mean to us? How do we take and apply this and take a lesson away from it that is important for us today? And you know, I find this very simple for me. This attitude. I can read the scriptures, and I can learn and hear of men of old. Moses, Abraham, Joseph, what a man, Joseph. And then David, the man after God's own heart. And I can read of these men. I remember as a boy, David was one of my favorite Bible characters that I would read through these scriptures and read of this man. But I can read about them very easily. Find it very interesting, but say, that was them. This is me. That was their time. This is my time. And don't make application from them to me. And yet the scriptures tell us that these things were written for examples that we might learn by them and to make application for ourselves. And as Timothy, a young man, a man of like passions, and here we find we can look at him and say, you know, he was a man who was saved on the testimony of another. Brought to a loving Savior. Come to know his Lord and Savior. Many things in a time where the morality of the world in his day was terrible. Where the idolatry in the world in his day was after many other things. And pulled out of all of that. And we can say, but in my day, and he can say, and in his day, and we can look at him and say, the very same things that a young man like Timothy would experience and the world that was offered to him is the same. And that is out there today. And who would say, not of this world, but I will follow Christ. And so we can see in him and take away this example in the young man and say, that we can find encouragement and strength as he found in Christ, that we find in Christ for the day in which we live, and find that we are put here for a time
and a purpose known to God, and that by faith we might respond to such and represent Him for His glory here in this scene. So Timothy, second generation Christian. And then I want to notice as we read to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Son in the faith. This is beautiful. Of all individuals that were in relationship to the Apostle Paul, one who had been chosen by God for the specific service. And here we find that Timothy had a very special place in the heart of the apostle, like none other. We read of him as a dearly beloved son. We have mine own son in the faith, my fellow worker. He served with me in the gospel. All expressions that give us to understand of the oneness and uniqueness that the Apostle Paul and Timothy had together as a father and a son. In close relationship, one with another. And I'd like to look at this and say age-integrated relationship. See the difference, not two young men, but here's one Timothy could look up to. But it's also one in whom the Apostle Paul could, I don't mean looking down on in the negative sense of the word, but who could look to and find in him a heart of response, of desire, that would take up those things that he would seek to teach him. A mentor. Paul, the mentor of Timothy. And Timothy, of the spiritual exercise and desire to receive such mentorship from one as the Apostle Paul. How easy? Again, we can come back to and think, you know, what is natural to us? That's their generation. They don't know any better. Right? We know so many more things. They're old school. Paul, to Timothy, he was the old school. He was of that school of God that would bring before the young man Timothy that Timothy had the desire to take up and to receive that such instruction. So we see a twofold response. We see the care. We heard of love this morning. We see the care of the Apostle Paul as he would look down onto Timothy and love him and care for him. And notice that he says, "And I, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." How much do we sometimes think, oh, I've prayed for that already. Oh, I prayed for that. I can't really keep praying for the same thing over and over and over. Well, that's my desire and exercise before the Lord as the Apostle Paul cared for Timothy, who had a desire and a spiritual exercise for this young man, daily praying for him. He was ever on his heart. Now that's a heart of love. And ever bringing him before the Lord, that's a heart of desire for his spiritual well-being. So we have the heart of care and love on the one hand. And in Timothy, we have the heart of response. The heart of response. Not a heart of rejection, or of rebellion, or of not now, I've got a better time, there's always tomorrow. No, it was a heart of response to take in those things. Wonderful relationship, unique relationship. And this is what Timothy had with Paul. And I challenge you. When there's older brothers, older sisters, that have a spiritual exercise and desire for you, don't scorn them. Their desire for you is for eternal well-being and for the eternal glory of Christ. having eternity in view. And while we live in the value of what eternity has here in this scene, the desire is to go on for the Lord and for the testimony that is associated with the name of Jesus Christ in a world that hates Him and would have nothing to do with Him. I say, keep on. And young people, it is a wonderful thing to have those who are older care for you. And then that you, in response, would be able, with a heart of desire, to respond and take that in such instruction that you might be guided along, that through them the Spirit of God might do a work in each one of our lives. And I tell you, I say, young people, here I am, but there's older ones that I look to. And you are older than others younger than you. What example do you set for them? You see how this goes through, that God has set it up naturally in creation in such a way that you can look to others for an example, as we are even now looking to Timothy. But you, what example do you set for those who are younger than you? Beautiful to see how this is in Paul and in Timothy. Then, as we notice, go down to verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of these in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. You know, it's interesting that when we look into the life of Timothy, and we find that there's some who would tell us that Timothy was weak, and that he was a man of fear. And I'd like to challenge that thought. And you know, I have looked through the New Testament, and I have looked up every word, tears. And it's interesting to find, this is what I found, though the word is used many times in the New Testament, and though we read of even the Lord Jesus who wept, and the tears of the Lord Jesus, and the tears of the woman who wiped his feet with her hair, and the tears of many others in the New Testament scriptures. When you come to the book of Acts, and you come to the beginning of the church age, and then we find that there is only two people that we read of that have tears. One was the Apostle Paul in Acts 20. There he was speaking with the Ephesian elders, and for 3 years ceased not with crying and tears. Why? When you read those verses in Acts chapter 20, you find that the apostle had an exercise for the spiritual well-being of the assemblies of God, for the testimony of Christ in this scene. Grievous wolves are going to come in among you, not sparing the flock. And he had a heart and an exercise for the spiritual well-being of the people of God. This was what was in the heart of the Apostle Paul when he speaks of his tears. This isn't weakness. This is strong spiritual exercise. And when we come, the other man that we read about, these tears is right here, is Timothy. Being mindful of thy tears. How unique that in this young man, Timothy, that he would be one associated with the tears of spiritual exercise and not with tears of weakness. Oh, he's just a little man. Give him some understanding. No. He's the man with understanding who understood the needs of the people of God, could see that there was a need to be drawn to the Lord, to follow Him, that He would ever be the object of the affections of the heart that would motivate every step of our walk in our Christian life. He was in tears of exercise before the Lord. What a wonderful status. The spiritual exercise of the testimony of the Lord. Being mindful of thy tears. Then in verse 5, we read, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unfeigned faith. Again, search the scriptures. What do you find? That this adjective that is given to describe the faith of Timothy, unfeigned, is only given to Timothy. That there is none other that there is in the scriptures that has been given this descriptive adjective of unfeigned faith. We can understand this as genuine, real faith. Nothing of pretense. Nothing here of going on with the Lord. The Lord will. Oh, the Lord will. I'm going to the Montreal conference. But with no exercise about what that really means. And how often that is. That we are giving a pretense of spiritualism that is honoring to the Lord, that is nothing less than only the magnifying of ourselves before someone else. But our status here is, what is my status before the eyes of God, who, before whom all things are naked and open? Who sees our hearts? Everything exposed. And in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, that's a wonderful chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll give you the verse 6, that it says there in verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And now with Timothy, what do we have? We have a faith that is genuine. It is unfeigned. It is unfeigned faith in Christ. This is the description that the scriptures give, inspired by the Spirit of God, of this young man, Timothy. Unfeigned faith. That faith that would seek not to honor himself, not for self-gratification, but that faith that would have Christ as the object. Notice this. Hebrews chapter 11. You know what I like to call Hebrews chapter 11? It's the faith chapter. But I like to call Hebrews chapter 11, you know, we have the Hockey Hall of Fame. Or whatever, sports, Hall of Fame. And I like to call Hebrews chapter 11 the Faith Hall of Fame. But there's something very uniquely different about the Faith Hall of Fame than you will ever find in any other Hall of Fame where men are lined up on the wall along the hallway. For what is the aspiration of the athlete? Now, understand that there is, the scripture speaks about it in Timothy, that the athlete competing according to the rules of the game is able to succeed and to win. His picture goes on the wall. Here we have these outstanding athletes, and their pictures are on the wall. Why? Because they have sought to come to an end in accomplishing something for themselves. Notice, they have accomplished something, humanly speaking, to glory in themselves. This is the Hockey Hall of Fame. On the Faith Hall of Fame, we have now, as it were, the pictures of men that the scripture gives to us according to the heart and the mind of God. And he puts them there. And he says, now look at this man. This man was faithful to me in this area. This man sought to honor me, not himself. See the difference? These men over here on this wall, they were seeking to honor themselves by achieving a goal. These men had God, Christ, before them. These men sought in a very simple way. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Their desire? Pleasing God. That's faith. Faith, as we look into Hebrews, and defines that faith. But their desire was to please God, to please honor Him. We heard about honoring Him so that the honor of God would be that which was their desire of heart, not honoring themselves. And so in honoring God, God honored them and put them on the faith hall of fame. And there they stand. And Timothy stands alone as the one with that description of unfeigned, genuine faith. What a wonderful testimony and example that is given to us in Timothy, unfeigned. But what a challenge when we think, genuine? Am I genuine before the Lord and to Him who knows all things, seeking to honor Him in my life? This was the Timothy. The Timothy with the tears of spiritual exercise. The Timothy that was the son of faith of Paul. And here we find that he was the one of unfeigned faith, genuine faith. Now, if we flip our pages back one page into 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. And there we read, but thou, O man of God, and I'm going to stop there. But thou, O man of God. We're going to look at this verse a little later this weekend in its entirety. But now, just as we look by way of introduction into this young man Timothy, we find again, another unique and really exclusive description that is given to him, the man of God. You say, but hang on a minute. We just heard this morning that this description of men of God is given to us many times in the scripture, and that's true. But only once in the New Testament. Only one time, and it's this time right here, that there is one who has been given this description as a man of God. And Paul, through the Spirit of God and testimony from the Lord, says, but thou, O man of God. He is exclusive in this particular testimony. Now, when we think of that, for me, it's like, well, that was Timothy. I guess because he was exclusive in that sense, that leaves me out. That was him in his day. Wrong. 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 He is set before us as an example. And let me show you how that example is presented to us in the scripture. Because in 2 Timothy and in chapter 3, if you read verse 16 and 17, we read there in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect or complete or mature, thoroughly finished unto all good works. That the man of God. So the description to Timothy that is given as the man of God in 1 Timothy chapter 6, but thou, O man of God,
we find that here, that the scriptures are given that the man of God, Timothy is set before us as a man of God. He is set before us as the example that the men of God, that those who are mature, those who seek to honor the Lord, they have every resource in Christ through the scriptures that he has given, that has been provided for us, that is necessary in this world. So Timothy then, and you and I in 2016, have exactly the same resources for our lives here. That Timothy, the man of God, that we, seeking to be men of God, having the scriptures to fit us, to equip us, to teach us, that we might be perfect in the sense of maturity, that he might then bring us through anything that is necessary and needful for the Christian walk is provided for us by God. What a wonderful blessing. That we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, you know what's very unique when we think of the scriptures? We think of Timothy, and we think of him being given this description of the man of God. If we tie all this together, it's very unique, again. And I'm stressing this word, the uniqueness of Timothy, when we see that in the scriptures, he also takes a very unique place. And that is that he is associated with the Apostle Paul in writing many of the scriptures. Paul has been given the authorship through the Spirit of God for many of the epistles, all the epistles that Paul wrote. But notice when you read Paul and Timothy or Timotheus, Paul and Timothy to the saints, Paul and Timothy and Silvanus to the saints. Go and count them. And you know what you find? 6, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon, 6 of them. 6 epistles that Timothy is associated with the Apostle Paul in the greeting of these particular letters. Unique to Timothy as to no one else in the scriptures. The man of God, the one with the exercised heart for Christ. Not only those 6, but in Hebrews we learn that Timothy was released from prison. That's 7, where he is mentioned at the end of the book. And then let's not forget that we have the 2 letters that are written to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. So 9 of the 27 books of the New Testament all take that Timothy is in each one of them. That's actually by number, not by volume, but by number, that's a third. And so you see the uniqueness of the individual Timothy. But let us remember, as we look at him, you know what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not now to set Timothy before us as an object. It is to set Timothy before us as an example that would show us and point us to Christ. Remember, on that faith hall of fame, what did those men that God put there on that wall, those were the ones that were honoring to him. And so we find that Timothy is the one honoring to him, but we taking example from him to follow him. As we think of the man of God, Brother John brought out before us this morning and just like to take off of this, where we have the preeminence in the heart of an individual, and that that preeminence would be none other than Christ. We saw that in discipleship. We see that as we look at these particular unique characteristics in Timothy, that the preeminent one in his heart was Christ. Hence the tears, for example. Then we come to Philippians chapter 2. And you know, to make this point, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And this is the last, and I just counted them actually last night. I realized that there were 7 of these points, which was rather interesting to me. But in Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 20, we find there, "For I have no man like-minded." Verse 19, right? "I'm going to send Timotheus shortly unto you." We're going to take up these scriptures yet this weekend. But as Timotheus, he's speaking of Timotheus, "that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded." This is, again, the unique time in Scripture where we find such an expression given to Timothy. That Paul would speak of him as one who is like-minded as he. And if we look at this word carefully and break it down, we find that there is no man equal in soul. And we speak of the preeminence of who occupies and what occupies our hearts. And here we find that Timothy was one who was, as like the Apostle Paul, no one like-minded. And if we take that expression and now apply it to all of these points that we have seen, no one like-minded, and imagine that here is one now who has been saved by the testimony of the Apostle Paul, who develops in the two of them a relationship that is very unique, where the apostle is the mentor seeking to bring on his own son in the faith, Timothy. And to the spiritual exercise, and to mold that spiritual exercise, and to help him along, and to encourage him as a young Christian who would mature into an individual that would be, as the scriptures have recorded, and we have looked into, a man of God. Because there's no one like-minded. And I was thinking about the heart, and thinking of the preeminence. And you know what Solomon said to his son? Solomon said, "My son, give me thine heart." You know what he didn't say to his son? He didn't say, "My son, give me 25% of your heart or 95% of your heart." Because we could argue and we could say that the preeminent place, if I give you 95%, that's preeminence. There's not much left. But that we give the Lord 100%, that's the preeminence. So when he says, "Give me thine heart," he said to his son, "I want all of it." And the Lord says, "I want all of it." And that as a result of it, what would flow out of it would be of Christ. See, that's the difference. When the Lord has all of the heart, 100%, given to him, the preeminence, then out of it flows the like-mindedness that comes as we look off and see Christ. The like-mindedness that would serve Christ to honor him. This is the preeminence of the heart. When we think of the heart and the relationship that Timothy had with Paul, Timothy had with his mother, his parents, and his grandmother. It's beautiful to see these relationships and how Timothy saw them, saw the value in them, nurtured them, but it, what is for me?
As we look at these unique examples, what is it for me? What is my relationship with my parents? What is your relationship with your parents as they seek to train and show you the ways of the Lord? Is it that which would be of spiritual exercise to take in those things that they would seek to train you in? So, as we look at all of these unique examples given to us exclusively of Timothy, what is my status? That's where we began. Not my status now in my opinion. Because as we look at Timothy, we see that that is set aside. And that the scriptures have given testimony to him in such a unique way that it isn't any man's opinion, but it is God's opinion in the word of God of his individual. This individual Timothy, his servant. What is my status in the mind of God? As he looks and he sees, where am I today in testimony for him? In my faith, is it unfeigned? Genuine faith? Seeking to honor the Lord? And as we have carefully looked at these very unique, let's remember this. Each one of you are unique in the eyes and the heart of God. Each one. Why? We can say, look in Timothy and say, well, Timothy, look who he was. You know, each one of us is unique. Why? Because it cost God his son on the cross to purchase every one of us for himself. That's unique. When the Lord Jesus hung there on the cross of Calvary, bearing your load of sin and mine's, he said, I see John Redicup in 2016, and I know him. And I know every other one. He knows you, and you are unique in his heart and in his mind. Unique in the eyes of God. And he has created you, and he has brought us into this world for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. And that's what we see as we look at all the uniqueness of Timothy, and we see how unique this individual was. But we see that God had a purpose for him. What's God's purpose for you? Are we having a heart and a spiritual exercise like Timothy, who with tears was concerned about the saints of God? That he would put in our hearts that he would be able to use that genuine exercise of faith to encourage the saints of God. Is that the purpose? Or many, 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 many other purposes that are known only to God, that he has made and created you and brought you into this world for a unique purpose. Unique in his heart, for a unique purpose, for the glory of Christ. And that's what we want to see as we look at Timothy. And as we continue to break down these scriptures and look at this man and all that he was brought into and taught. Unique in the eyes of God. Unique for a purpose for him. Am I available? Am I available to be used by him for that very purpose that he has created me for the glory of his name? You know, sometimes we get so caught up in this question. What is God's purpose for me? I can't figure it out. And we spend more time thinking about what is God's purpose for me than simply enjoying the fellowship of the Lord Jesus through the reading of the Word, being faithful to him. Because you know what happens then? That the doors simply open. And as we walk through them and we see them only one step at a time, walk by faith, not by sight, then we find that he is the one leading the way. And then we are no longer occupied with, what am I supposed to be doing? But we are simply doing by walking faithfully. And God will use that for the glory and the testimony of Christ. What is my status? I can't answer that. But before the Lord, I trust that you would take up that challenge. What is my status in the heart and the mind of God for my life here? He's created me unique for a purpose. Am I ready and willing and available to be used by Him in whatever avenue He would seek? May the Lord help us and give us encouragement as we continue to look at the Scriptures, but may we lift it up as we even look at Timothy the example and be challenged as we are going through our lives day by day. The Lord help and bless His Word for His name's sake.
Amen.
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 God and Father, again, we would just give you thanks for this day of conference. We would just give you thanks and ask for your help, Lord, that we would be displaying these features of you in our own lives, that we would be more and more conformed into your image. We just ask for your help and just commit the rest of the day into your hands and pray all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.